As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, "We take the time to care," they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing. Bloody murder, molesting. Running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around.
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
Welcome back, or for the first time, to the Rusty Satellite Show. This is your host, Rick Redding, telling you about the show that brings you the most interesting people in the Ville every week here on the show. It's a little podcast I started about a year and a half ago on show number 84, if you can believe it. And this is A Week of Love. It's the Valentine's Day edition of the Rusty Satellite Show. Valentine's Day is on a Saturday this year. If you have not made plans, I'll just warn you, the nicer restaurants are booked. You know, I had my girlfriend called Anusha's. You know, if you remember, Anush Sheriot was on the show. He's got this great restaurant. We've been wanting to go for a full dinner, and hard to find a spot. They didn't have a reservation available when we wanted to on Friday night. So see, the Valentine's is really bigger this year because you can do something Saturday night, Friday night, Sunday. You know, there's few excuses for not doing something special for your sweetie on this great weekend. It's going to be cold. It's going to be really cold outside. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on this weekend. There's a UofL home game. They play North Carolina State at the Yum Center, 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. Be a good one to take your sweetheart to. Later in the show, we're going to have, in honor of Valentine's Day, a couple of very happy newlyweds from Southern Indiana. We'll get to those, favorites of the show. And you'll want to stay tuned for that. That's going to be really great. But if you are having trouble finding reservations in a nice romantic restaurant in this city, you might give them a call over at Louie Louie's. Louie Louie's is in J-Town. It is one of my favorite spots. Great friends of the show over there. They still, as of Wednesday, still had a few spots left on the weekend for reservations. Give them a call at 266-7599. That's Louie Louie's authentic Detroit style pizza. But they have a lot of other dishes on there besides pizza. They have some great salads, some great Italian dishes. So I really urge you to give them a call over there. Try to get out there and be a great place to watch the game or something. It's a cool place. So Louie Louie's authentic Detroit style pizza. Give them a call and go on out there. One more thing before I get to my first guest, I want to tell you about. If you remember, a few weeks back we had Lenny Mello, who is a Titleist Performance Institute trained trainer, who's been helping me with my golf game and trying to get me flexible so that and you know, if you saw in the news, if you're paying any attention to like pro golf, Tiger Woods shot his worst round of his life and all that, and and in the media surrounding that, he talked about his glutes not firing or working and all that. And it's sort of the same stuff that I'm working on with Lenny to make sure that all the muscles are working right. I actually went out and played golf. We had a break in the weather last weekend, and I really felt different. I tell you, all this work I've been doing with Lenny over at the Pillar Performance Institute over there at the Louisville Tennis Club, it's really paying off. I swung freely, had a lot of flexibility, and that was all great. So anyway, something to keep in mind if you want to get ready for golf season, get flexible, give Lenny a call. He'll, you know, it's a great program over there, great facility. Really am enjoying my experience with Lenny Mello. So let's get on to our first guest. I'm really happy to have this guy on the show. I've followed his career for several years. He is a cellist, and it is Ben Salee. He has been playing, talk about romantic things to do. Go to Actors Theater on Saturday or this weekend. This is the last week of the performances they'll play at The Vanishing Point. And it is a play that has all sorts of local references in it and some great acting. I was really curious because I knew Ben Salee as a musician, but I learned a lot in this interview. And one is that he certainly has training as an actor, and I saw him in the play, and you know, he really did an outstanding job. And there's some really interesting stuff about Ben and his he's a big advocate of environmental causes and issues, and has just built himself into a pretty great musical career at a young age of 27. So here's my interview with Ben Salee. Today I'm at Actors Theater with Ben Salee, and Ben, welcome to the show.
Well, hey there, Rusty.
I'm really glad to get the opportunity to talk to you. I haven't had a lot of musicians on the show. Let's talk first about this play at Actors Theater. Mm-hmm. You're wrapping up the run of the play, but I went to see it the other night, and it's just amazing. It must be a lot of fun for you.
It's a lot of fun. The play's called At the Vanishing Point, and it's directed by Les Waters, who invited me to collaborate with him and compose a score for the show. And one of the neat ideas that we had was to perform it live every night, so that right. I get to be in the theater and really work with the actors. The show is written by Naomi Azuki, and it's based on oral histories from Butchertown, mm-hmm. Historical ones and ones that she did. And she's kind of strung those together and tied them with one of Kentucky's great, you know, heritage photographers, right. Ralph Eugene Meatyard, into a kind of historical fiction ghost story type yeah. show that really weaves together a lot of the kind of messy but sincere connections that we have in our family lives.
Right.
Demonstrates them through this show.
It's an amazing show, a bunch of great actors. I was... knew you as a musician and loved the music and that, but you seem to have some acting chops in there. I mean, your little monologue is have you done anything like that before?
You know, I growing up in Lexington, I went to the School for Creative and Performing Arts and lived and breathed theater for about 5 years. I mean, just everything, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Mm-hmm. every day, going to school and you know, being around it because I loved it. I love the tech side of it. I love the art of acting. I love getting to dance around and be on stage. I don't know what that says about me, but I love it. I really do. But then once I got in college, I focused on cello, focused on studying that here at U of L in Louisville, and then head off into this kind of solo music career and didn't really get to see the acting stage very yeah. much. However, since it is a show of monologues, that's kind of what I do when I tell stories on stage at my shows, right. which is something I really enjoy doing. So it comes naturally to tell monologues. Now, if I had to get up there and play some type of strange character role, you'd probably push me to my limits. But I really do enjoy being around these actors.
Yeah, well, it was a very impressive performance. I know that you, I mean, you do have this solo career that started here in Louisville. Tell me a little bit about how that is, and I guess I don't want to load you up too many questions at once, but the cello, doesn't seem like there's a lot of mainstream performers have solo careers with the cello.
You know, there's not a lot of historical precedent for singing cellists out there in the world, let alone successful ones. So this whole thing is kind of an experiment. But I picked up the cello when I was 9 years old, public schools, Yates Elementary, Lexington, Kentucky. And I loved all the sounds it could make when I first picked it up, and I made all the different bodily sounds and animal sounds you could possibly make on a cello at 9 years old. And I continue to make them. I continue to be inspired by all the different sounds you can do on the cello. And, you know, for me, it's just, it's never left my hands, or I've never really changed instruments, because it's the most versatile tool. I can take it anywhere, and I can do a ballet, I can do rock shows, I can work with hip-hop DJs, and I can work with classical orchestras. It talks to them all. It's a tremendously versatile instrument. I always call it the Swiss Army knife of the orchestra.
Right? Well, there you go. But you're saying take it anywhere, but let's take that in the literal sense. I've heard about your bike treks on, and you take your instrument and you go. Tell me about some of those. What inspires you to do that? And if I'm not mistaken, what I read was some more than 100-mile treks, right?
Yeah. Well, so we call them, we affectionately call them ditch the van tours.
Okay.
And that's in part because we just, we spent so much time on planes and trains and automobiles as traveling musicians.
Sure.
And we're flying over, driving past places that are probably amazing places. And I got into music because I love the interaction that happens with the audience, the communities that you play in. And so I found myself being spending so much time in between that I wasn't spending time in any particular place. So I saw a little commercial for a bicycle called an Extra Cycle.
Uh-huh.
And it's a long frame bicycle that you can haul stuff on. They call it a utility bike. Mm-hmm. And I immediately was inspired to put my cello on there and just start traveling.
Wow.
And the first tour that I did was down to Bonnaroo Music Festival in Manchester, Tennessee, riding down from Lexington, Kentucky. So it's 330 miles, 8 shows along the way. And it was hard. I really didn't train for it. I really didn't know. I loved riding bike, but I'd never really ridden a lot more than like 8 miles at a time.
Right.
And this was much more than that with a huge load.
I can't imagine, yeah.
But, you know, the thing is, once I got down there, I really discovered that the pace of traveling by bicycle fit me as a person and fit me as a musician a lot better. And I enjoyed that. And it also had an environmental responsibility. It's somewhat of a more sustainable feel to me, even though it's twice the time on the road for half the money.
Yeah.
It felt better to be on the road.
So you must have to go you can't go on the interstates, I don't guess.
You don't go on the interstates, nor would you really want to. It's an unpleasant ride.
Yeah,
but
no
over the last 4 years, 5 years, we've ridden about 5,000 miles around the country doing shows. And I'm usually joined by my percussionist and dear friend, Jordan Ellis, who lives in Frankfort, Kentucky. And he actually hauls a whole drum set behind him on a trailer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's hard to match. But I know, like, an event, I just sort of recall, like, you were involved, like, in the Idea Festival, right? And when there's some big ride associated with that. So that has to be, it seems like you come with great music and a message in terms of what you present to your audience.
Yeah, and I don't really know where I got that idea from. Maybe from playing on this radio show. As I got through high school and on through college, I played on this show in Lexington called Wood Songs Old Time Radio Hour. It's a live audience radio show, and every week I would play with the stage band and see all these amazing artists come through. Odetta, Roger McGuinn, Chris Thiele, Ralph Stanley, Vance Gilbert, all these amazing artists, and they would tell them their stories on stage, and I would listen. And they would play their music, and sometimes I'd play with them. And even better, backstage, I'd get to ask them questions. And so I got this tremendous insight into the music industry. It's like, you know, it's like getting to hang out at the airport with all the pilots if you wanted to be a pilot, right?
There you go.
And so I think the message, I think being around that allowed me to think, A, that having a message in a music career is okay, and B, that, you know, that it's important.
Mm-hmm.
If you do have something to say, to say it and not wait for success to say it,
right,
or wait for somebody to for you to have enough money to afford to do a bike tour. Do it, because it's what you believe in.
I want to talk a little bit about your start in terms of your solo career. You know, you went to U of L, but we were talking your first record, or your first, I guess they still call them records, but your first recording that you sold to people originated at a local record company, right?
Well,
or am
kind
I wrong?
Of. No, you're right. They put it out, but it was an independent project. So I recorded I recorded and produced the record on my own, and then kind of showed it to different people, and actually put out a local release of it, you know, completely shoestring budget. And we did the release show at the then brand new 21C Hotel.
Oh,
we
wow.
did two nights, and it was tremendously successful. We had collaboration with the Louisville Ballet and video artist Valerie Fuchs, and just so many cool things.
Okay.
But then once we kind of did the local release, Gil, you know, said, you know, I want to help you put this out in the national release. And so
okay.
he kind of provided that infrastructure.
And since then, what, two more? Or how many more have you
Let's
done?
See here. It's not something I generally go keep count of. We got Learning to Bend. We have Dear Companion. We have Inclusions. Some other like live records in between there, Half Made Man, Hollow Session. So yeah, maybe five or six more
recordings. Okay. Well, let's switch gears a second and let me ask you about this play at Actors is wrapping up. What's next on the Ben Solis schedule?
A dash of everything, my friend. we have more touring. I'm going to be supporting a band called the Yonder Mountain String Band, traveling around the country, and I'll be chasing their tour bus playing shows. I'm doing some music for a new Kentucky tourism campaign that'll be on, you know, web and TV
cool.
and radio. So, kind of getting that sound going. I'm doing the score for another film that's on animal husbandry and rights around the world, and then putting out a new record called Steeples.
Okay,
and that'll come out probably early May.
Okay, early May. So a lot of time on the road. Is the songs on the album, are they put together and being packaged, or are you still got to record them?
No, they're put together, but they haven't been packaged yet.
Okay.
And that's because the landscape of records and record industry and everything is changing so much. I mean, I don't even know if it makes sense to make a physical record anymore. I know that it makes sense to make good quality music. I don't know if it makes sense to package it as a record.
Well, it's so different, it seems to me, that I guess you make your money touring and in different ways than, say, musicians did 20 years ago.
Absolutely. And in many ways, there's a tremendous amount more opportunities. I mean, there's very little chance that I could have had a career 15, 20 years ago as a singing cellist.
Right.
Just the industry wasn't set up that way. But the double edge to that is that so many other people have careers that wouldn't have ever had careers, that there's a lot of clutter, competition, however you want to look at it.
Well, it's the same. I guess we're talking about the internet now, because there's opportunities to put whatever you produce in a lot of different places.
Would you have a radio show if it wasn't for
No, I would not.
iTunes and podcasts?
Not at all. And it's interesting, because the same thing happened, like, for me 6 years ago. I became a blogger, and, you know, I said, well, you know, I can't get a job at a newspaper, so I'll start my own. And so it seems like in music, you've got the same opportunity, and just different challenges in terms of making a living.
Mm-hmm.
So good for you. Well, we're about done, but I want to conclude with talking about the time of year it is. You know, it's you're a musician, and it's Valentine's weekend coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I was thinking that it must be easy for you to do things romantic when you can just sing a song, right?
Yeah.
or do you have some other sort of plans for Valentine's Day?
Well, I think we're going to do a small, intimate show at a speakeasy. And then, of course, I'm doing the show at The Vanishing Point with Actors Theater. It's our second to last show. And then try to just spend some time with my wife, Caitlin.
Okay.
And hopefully, maybe it doesn't sound romantic, but with my son, Oliver. Because
okay,
I'm
very good.
Spend time, too much time away from him.
Well, how many times has she gotten a song for Valentine's Day? Has that ever happened?
A good many,
yeah,
but not as much as I would have hoped, just thinking of me as a musician.
All right. Well, it's been great visiting with you, Ben, and good luck with the rest of the show, and we'll be looking forward to the album when it comes out.
Thanks so much, Rusty.
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, we take the time to care, they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
And a big thank you to Ben Salee. You still got a couple of nights to go out and see At the Vanishing Point. And I certainly urge you to go check out Ben if you haven't heard his music before. He really does some interesting things with the cello. I talked with him briefly about the only other cello player I've really ever witnessed or had any fame in my mind is the guy in the Lyle Lovett band, a guy named John Hagen. And cello, interesting instrument. So thanks to Ben. So this is moving on. This is the part of the show where I talk about some of the news that has come across my field of vision and all the social media and news media outlets that are available to us now. It's really hard to pick and choose what you want to pay attention to. I tell you, in media, the big story nationally, I guess, there's really two, is Brian Williams, the NBC News anchor. Now, this is an example of a story that just started as a little thing, and it's just growing and growing and growing. And I don't know how big it's going to get. Williams was proven to have lied about something that happened many years ago. And in the most embarrassing way, he came across as saying that he did something heroic and was in danger when it really wasn't true. And, you know, for that, he's being pilloried in the news. And he has been, I don't know if it's suspended or just temporarily quit his job, but NBC is looked into. Apparently, they've now turned up a bunch of other stuff about Brian Williams. It's become a real nightmare. I always liked Brian Williams. I don't watch nightly news, but he shows up on a lot of other things, like he's been on Jon Stewart's show, I know. And there's a lot of noise in social media about Jon Stewart, who is announced, I don't know why he announced now, here in February, that at the end of the year, he's going to quit his Daily Show gig. And, you know, I don't know. I guess the thing I think I've seen a lot of, like, tributes, and it's almost like people think he's dead. He's going to be on the air for another, almost a full year. So enjoy the Daily Show while you can, I guess is the message. And, you know, certainly that's one of the things that I watch as often as I can. So really appreciate his view of the news and the whole show he puts together. I've been watching this other podcast called The Daily Show Without Jon Stewart, and it has people who are behind the scenes talking about the way they produce the show and the correspondence. It's really good. I highly recommend it if you get a chance to listen to podcasts other than The Rusty Satellite Show. So on to more local stuff. I tell you, You may not realize the legislature, the Kentucky legislature, is in session, and they're, as expected, doing very little, getting very few things passed. I came across this story about for example, the smoking ban. There's a bill in the legislature to ban smoking in public places and places of employment. And, you just don't understand why it's not going to pass. But it is, I'm telling you, it's probably not going to pass. The sponsor apparently got it through a committee, but in order to get a vote on the floor, it has to go through another hurdle and test, and the legislatures in charge just made that bar a little higher. To make a long story more understandable, basically, I'll be very surprised if this gets a vote in the legislature. These darn rural legislatures, don't you just wish Louisville could, you know what, secede from the rest of the state? It's just embarrassing. These rural legislatures are so afraid that they're going to get voted out of the office if they vote to ban smoking, which is, you know, I think we're in the race to the bottom to be the last state to do anything about our health. And it's a shame. So, you know, that's my soapbox on that. It's probably not going to happen. The other you know, the other thing our state does wrong is it's dealing with alcohol laws. Okay. And there's a few stories in the news about alcohol. One is that there's this battle brewing, and you got to go a little bit into the weeds to understand what this is about. But there's a bill that would prohibit breweries from owning beer distributorships. And Anheuser-Busch, the company that owns Anheuser-Busch, already owns a couple of distributorships, and the big one they've has owned for 37 years. If this bill passes, the company Anheuser-Busch's company InBev would have to divest itself from the distributorships, which, you know, certainly they're fighting that, and it all has to do with this battle between craft breweries and the major breweries. You know, in the Super Bowl, Budweiser had this big ad that was sort of made light of craft beers and sort of made fun of them. So now both sides in this issue are producing. I just saw on WHS TV they produce television commercials, sort of to influence the public, I guess. But this bill, the bill is backed by distributorships that want to take over the Anheuser-Busch distributorship when they have to sell it because of the law. And, you know, I'm not sure which side to take on it. I know that it seems like a pretty silly issue, but it's causing a lot of talk, a lot of consternation among some people. I don't think any bill that would require a business to sell a part of its business would seem right. So you know, that's where I stand on that. There's some other really. Another really interesting law. I don't know if you saw this in the news, but you know, this is another thing that I think our lawmakers are wasting their time on. Apparently, according to Kentucky law, tailgating at college football games is illegal. Yeah, you heard that right. There's a statute that makes tailgating at college games illegal. So they've written a bill that would address this issue and allow tailgating at college stadiums. It's sort of a complex issue, as all liquor laws seem to be in this state, and that's so there's this bill. They're wasting their time on this bill. It's not going to change anything, because, you know, tailgating is an accepted part of the college football game experience. It also applies to Keeneland, where people like to tailgate outside the facility there. And I guess you know, there's not really sides to this. It's just trying to get this bill passed that would address the issue and make things that are already going on illegally to make them legal, so people can do like I do and stand in the parking lot and drink beer before a ball game. So that's going on in the cycle. The more interesting story, I guess, is over in Indiana. Now Indiana has some also pretty strange laws, but a House committee over there has approved a bill that would lift the ban on Sunday carry out alcohol sales. And in order to pass this, they put restrictions on grocery stores and pharmacies over in Indiana. Now, they sell, if you go to that Meijer in New Albany, there's a big section, and you can buy liquor and wine and beer all out there, right out in the middle of the floor with all the bananas and all the other stuff that the grocery stores sell. That's not true in Kentucky, where we have this weird law that only liquor stores can sell hard liquor and grocery stores can sell beer and not wine. Yeah. Does it get confusing to you? It does to me. Over there, they have a ban on Sunday sales. And so this law would allow Sunday sales of alcohol, but now the grocery stores would be restricted. If this passes, grocery stores would have to require, they'd be required to have designated areas for beer and wine sales, and they'd have to put liquor behind counters, which would be a big change for the Meijers of the world. The groceries chains believe the change in law is being pushed by a liquor store group that has a wish list, and you know, they want it like Kentucky, where grocery stores aren't allowed to sell anything besides beer. So that's your weird alcohol laws in Kentucky and Indiana update for the week. Really, really odd stuff. I did want to point out one last story that, you know, while we're talking about local government. There's this guy, this story, Insider Louisville's been following. There's this guy that's a rehabilitation instructor working in the Kentucky Department of Juvenile Justice. And this is a bigger issue than just this story. But he was finally fired because he had made a bunch of racist and violent postings on his public Facebook page. Okay, so, you know, I guess the lesson is everybody that works anywhere, you know, have to be aware of the effect of your personal feelings if you make make them public, they may affect your job. And this guy, this Kreider guy, worked with juveniles, and the subject of his post was all the violence a couple months back, the Michael Brown case, the Eric Garner case, African Americans killed by police officers. He got in, you know, and they've got a picture of him from his Facebook page. He looks like a redneck. His t-shirt says "Breathe Easy, Don't Break the Law." And some of his comments were just you know, beyond the pale of what would be acceptable. And in firing him, the state said that his comments on public social media compromise his credibility and call into question your objectivity as it relates to your role in working with adjudicated delinquent youth of diverse racial and socioeconomic backgrounds. Basically, this guy works with young African American kids, and you know, they can see on his Facebook page that he is a racist attitude towards them. So anyway, the state, it takes a while to fire somebody in the state, but they after this has been going on for a while, for over a month, and you can check out that story on Insider Louisville if you like. It's pretty interesting. Always also like to do in this time on the show is update you. Now that we have like some 160 something guests who have been on the Rusty Satellite Show, I'd like to give you an update on what some of them are doing. If you remember a few weeks back, we had Ashley Anderson, a lovely, aspiring, talented actress, was on the show, and she at that point has been a correspondent on the Deadbeat show on WBNA. Got a lot of interest in controversy over the last few months. Well, Ashley has, I've read on Facebook, has decided to move to LA to find her fortune and try to make it as an actress. I wish her the best of luck. I hope that happens for her, and we'll always remember that she's from here. You know, maybe she's the next Jennifer Lawrence. Who knows? But good luck to her. Also want to mention that if you get a chance, again, if you listen to other podcasts, I was a guest on a podcast by these guys called the Louisville Improvisers. It's called What Happens Next. It's on the Louisville.am network. And it is a very interesting podcast. I'm looking forward to hearing it. I went last Saturday and recorded this 30 minutes of improv with these guys. And it's, I don't know, I think it's pretty funny. You can be the judge. Let me know what you think if you get a chance to listen to that, in addition to listening to the Rusty Satellite Show. So, all right, let's get on with the second guest. And it's the first time I've ever had a couple on the show, but I thought, I was trying to think of something that was appropriate to Valentine's Day, and I thought, oh, well, every time I seem to go on Facebook, there's Angie Fenton writing about some great romantic thing that her new husband has done for her. I went to Angie's wedding back in October. It was a wonderful affair, and it so happens that Jason Applegate, Angie's husband, and Angie are starting a new magazine in Southern Indiana, so that there is a news angle here. And I thought I'd get together and talk to him about the magazine and about the things that Valentine's Day means and in terms of couplehood and as newlyweds. So they haven't known each other that long. They got married a year after they met, and now they've been married for 4 months, and you know, they don't seem to be they seem to be getting along very well, and it's a very wonderful, happy, romantic thing. I thought you'd like to hear from them about how it's going and hear about the new magazine Extol, which is their new magazine in Southern Indiana. So here's my interview with Jason and Angie. Today, I've come all the way over to New Albany to meet with the area's happiest newlyweds, Jason Applegate and Angie Fenton. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks for having
welcome
us.
Welcome to New Albany.
Yeah,
I know. I try not to come over here very often. But,
you are missing out.
I guess I am. But Angie, if you'll just be quiet for a minute, I want to talk to Jason here.
Perfect. I wish I could get her to do that easy.
Oh, I'm sure you were always telling her to be quiet. So I'm interested. One of the things that has perked my interest in following local media, I know you're starting a magazine over here. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, it's to celebrate Southern Indiana. The name's Extol, and it's just to celebrate the great people, places, things with all the growth, and do it in a style that is high quality. It's a free publication, so hopefully you run into it when you're out.
Okay. Did you have a hard time when you came up with this idea, trying to think up who would be the editor of the publication?
Well, I went through a list, and I just they everybody said no, and then I looked over and Angie was sitting there spilling something on herself. So I said, "You'd be great at it," and so she accepted.
Well, we know better. We know that Angie actually, was probably the driving force making all this happen and pulled you into it. So Jason, just to keep the thing going about you, because everybody knows Angie, but not many people know you. What's your background coming into this program?
I initially grew up selling billboard advertising, so that's my gig in the deal is from the advertising standpoint. I have a paint store as well, and so I'm doing the backroom stuff as well. So not so much exciting stuff.
Okay. Well, it's not exciting, but it pays the bills. It's very necessary. Angie, let me ask you about the publication now. What kind of content are we going to be seeing? And the first issue is like coming out soon, right?
It is. We have a launch on March 5th. It's our launch party. Details to be determined very quickly, and we'll be on Facebook, of course. Extol Magazine is on Facebook, but just extol means to praise enthusiastically. It's synonymous with celebrate, and we want to celebrate Southern Indiana, which is so often an addendum in our local media. So it's going to be a beautiful, perfect-bound, glossy magazine about the people, the places, just what Jason said, the incredible things that are happening here, and the movements that are both philanthropic and also progressive in terms of development. All will be in there. And, of course, you see dogs.
Oh, yeah.
You will see dogs.
There's the dog section.
I mean, of course,
if it involves you, right? The dog section of the magazine. Similar, I guess, in some ways to some of the things you've done before.
Yes.
You reported WHS-TV and used to be the Voice Tribune, sort of like, and with Courier, the celebrities and the people, I guess, that are celebrities here in Southern Indiana, right?
But the difference, and we want, I mean, everyday people as well, but this time we get to dictate how this goes, and that's the most exciting. It's not just me, but it's not just my voice. We have a great team, and we get to try whatever we want. And that's,
it's fun to be king, right?
And it is. And I mean, and everybody on that team is king, you know, or queen. And probably the best part, though, is working with my husband. I mean, we just got married on October 4th. We met each other for the first time October 14th, 2013. We get married less than a year later, and now we're in business together.
Yeah.
So it's incredible.
Wow. It sounds like a very exciting project.
Most days.
Real smart.
I remember, I want to, embarrass you a little bit. Now, I went to the wedding, and, my girlfriend Paula, went out and picked out a nice gift.
Beautiful gift from St. James.
We're still waiting on our thank you card.
Okay, I got to tell you, Jason is terrible about them. Like, he's just, I don't know.
So it's his job.
I mean, I did everything else for the wedding. I did nothing.
But honey, I did nothing but dress
our dog.
But honey, I've done everything except put the stamps on it. You haven't done that yet?
Oh, you're so silly.
Really?
I realized that. So any of our guests out there, I'm sorry, but your thank you will come within the year.
And just,
we'll send a copy of the magazine.
I wrote them, and you just couldn't take enough time to stamp.
Right.
That's good. Well, I'll just come by and pick mine up then.
Yeah. You should have brought it today
here.
If I would have known she didn't do anything with them.
Pick it up, and we'll get you a drink as well.
Yeah, hopefully she just didn't clean up another dog mess with it.
All right, so we're talking about the wedding, and this is your I guess here's what I always have trouble with on Valentine's Day is like, remember what I did last year. So I'll put you on the spot, Jason. What did you do for her last year?
What did you do
when you weren't married and you really had to be working at it?
I would have to say I don't even remember. I would probably maybe cooked or something.
Well, here's the thing about him, though. I mean, I've never been a real romantic kind of person when it comes to dating. And, I mean, he opens my car door every day, even if he's mad at me, and brings flowers and just does all these sweet things. And I almost feel like I told you, because I've never liked it. Since grade school, when kids
and
would
I have
get,
to do what she says, so
when we were in grade school, kids would get Valentine's, and my heart used to hurt for the kids who just got so few. And so I've always hated Valentine's Day. But I mean, he celebrates stuff like that. We leave each other notes. I mean, he's just a really romantic guy. I think you did cook dinner.
And Angie's always like posting crap on Facebook about these great things. You know, you're making all us regular guys look bad, right?
Yeah, that some of that stuff is temporary, but no.
No, it's not. Where did it come from? You learned from
my dad was very good at that. He was, I don't know, he'd probably be around 70 now, and he was old school, and he liked to be good.
Okay.
With the ladies.
Juice passed about, what, 12 years ago?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But your mom says that he would be very proud of you.
Well, good.
Okay. Well, good. Well, now that you're an old married couple and all that.
Yes, we are.
Let me ask Angie, what is it women, because I may need some advice here, what do women, like, really want for Valentine's Day?
Oh, gosh. I mean, for in my case,
another dog.
Another dog. I mean,
that would be great.
That's
it?
My answer for everything.
Real nice. That she will take that to heart, and that could happen.
No, honestly, I mean, one of the things that he's really good at is just listening to me and figuring out what I like, what I love. For my birthday, I was on the cover with Zeke, our dog who died in December. Rescued from the Aerofund, big, hairy, black, and wheelchair, and he got the issue of In Focus, all the frame. I mean, it was something so special, and I mean, that in itself is wonderful, but the fact that he knew how much that would mean to me. So, I mean, something small, something
that's personal,
large.
I guess, is what's really important.
I mean, jewelry, flowers, I'm not big in the candy. Some people like that, but
quote that.
Those things are good. But
I've been told not to get flowers this year, so I'm very excited about that.
But it's really something that makes you go, oh, wow, he remembered that. And he's very, very good. I loved this clock at Endress Jewelers, which is closing here in New Albany. And, I mean, just would come there when we were picking out our rings and would stare at it for Christmas. That's what he got. He remembered. I mean, it was only like one time, though, that he was with me. And he remembered how much it meant because I grew up with grandfather clocks and just loved them. And it made me think of my family.
Wow, so
maybe that's where the cuckoo came from. No,
he's also a jokester.
He also knows when to say honey, you know, to make sure that it's not going to get have repercussions. Yeah. So, okay, so what, October, November, it's 4 months into marriage. I'm sure people out there would like to know what seemingly happy couples like you fight about.
Dogs.
Yeah.
Because we have taken in special needs animals, and so it really is a process, and so we are negotiating the boundaries of our relationship as it comes to dogs, and not because it's we tag team together, and it's better when we do that.
Sometimes I would have to say that that being a young couple, only known each other for just over a year, we're still learning each other a little bit.
Driving.
So
you're driving.
My driving's good. You're just
driving.
Way too far out on this.
I mean, that
you're just
to
way
be
too
I
far out.
I think we have a real point of contention here.
Yeah. And I mean, we don't fight about this. Instead, we use it as a lot of fun. But Jason has my degrees are in English, and I used to be an English professor at Central Michigan University, fledgling one. He has the most amazing use of the English language. He invents words, and he also is able to use, like, you know, the $1 million words with the word ain't in the same sentence. I mean, it's seriously impressive. But so we don't fight about that, but we do a thing where sometimes we're driving and he'll just throw out a word that I'm like, how do you know that word? Spell it. It's on my phone. I have Jason's spelling quiz.
Yeah, but
and so he does it. He'll say the word, he'll spell it, and then he'll say it like in a spelling bee. That's probably one of my most
that's pretty
favorite.
Good.
Yeah, it's real exciting.
Because
I'm making a point not to correct spelling and stuff like that because, you know, it irritates people. You know, it's like they're sensitive about the writing, right? Nobody wants to have the writing criticized.
But he's a really good writer. I mean, and it's funny because he spells phonetically. Like, it always makes sense why he spells it that way, but it's just
intriguing. Always wrong. No.
Usually, it's something fun that we
all right, doing. So now, Angie, you told me you had some big surprise if we
go
make
away, honey,
Jason
like,
cover up his ears. He can just cut,
no,
do
no,
the
no,
hear
go
no
away,
evil.
Go
come
away.
On.
We don't have much time left.
So we, I mean, I'm not into Valentine's Day, but I'm thinking, okay, we're married for the first time, so I had to do something, but also something that I knew would make him laugh. So tomorrow, I have hired the Pride of Kentuckiana foursome, a quartet, to come to lunch to sing to him. I think it's my what a funny Valentine or something like that, and they bring flowers and a stuffed animal and do it at North End Cafe. So
yeah, well that's
lunchtime.
Fun. You know, the funny thing he told me before you got here that he was having a male stripper come to. So that's going to be really wild.
That's my husband. We're going to have a party. So, and then I also got some arrows that. For these beautiful, unique arrows that'll go in a vase on his desk. And okay. I wrote some little card that now sounds cheesy because I'm going to say it out loud, but I'm just so thankful, you know, Cupid shot us both because we were both at a point, honey, you can come back now, a point when we met where we were done with relationships, and then we met each other and been together ever since.
Happily ever after, which is what we always want.
Yeah. And
right?
I guess you got to understand that you have to listen. Like, go in the other room and then come back.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for our Rusty Satellite Show interview. Thank you both for being on the show. There will be lovely parting gifts, I'm sure. But I'll be looking for that thank you card from
good
you guys.
To see
thank you very
and
much.
And you can come and pick that up if you bring Paula.
Okay.
And come back over to New Albany, okay?
And
we'll have a drink
too.
For you.
Yeah, pick up a dog.
Pick up a dog.
And my pick.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank you very much.
And yes, I did travel all the way over to southern Indiana. I went to New Albany, Quill's Coffee Shop over there. It's really not that hard to get to. I like to, you know, have fun with people in Indiana about how difficult it is to get there and how infrequently I go. But, you know, it's really not that bad. So, all kidding aside on that. That's going to do it for this show. I wanted to mention to you, you know, just one more thing. I always try to keep up with some culture. And you know, it's cold and you're spending a lot of time indoors. I still can't get to all of the things I want to watch. You know, I've got all these television shows. I made a list of all the television shows I'm trying to watch every week and try to keep up, starting with my favorite, Justified. There's The Americans on FX. Scandals on network TV. On Showtime, I like to watch House of Lies, Shameless, and Episodes. Brand new show on AMC. You got to check it, especially if you're a Breaking Bad fan. And that is Better Call Saul, featuring Bob Odenkirk, who was the Saul on the Breaking Bad. It's really, really promising to be a really great show. I have not yet. There have been two episodes. I've got them both recorded, planning to watch them. Have high hopes. I also try to catch Bill Maher every Friday night, and of course the Jon Stewart show's on every night. So how do you keep up with all that? I don't know. I did invest in something. I'll tell you about the with Amazon, the Fire TV, and it's a little device you hook up to your TV, and it gives you access to everything on Amazon Prime. If you do that, and you can hook into almost anything you can see. On the internet, and I think it's the future. You know, all those shows I just mentioned, very few of them do I watch, like when they come on. You know, I it's like appointment TV for me. So anyway, I'm trying to get all those in, and if you'd like to, you know, engage me in conversation about any of those shows, I'd be happy to talk to you. I think there's a lot of good TV on. This is sort of a golden age of television, because there's, you know, when you think there used to be three networks producing content, now there's like 30. You know, there's all kinds of places, all kinds of productions being made, and there's a lot more content out there, and it has to be good because the competition is stiff. So anyway, that's my thing about TV. One TV related thing, I just finished an audiobook, the Amy Poehler's Yes Please. It was kind of entertaining. You know, Amy's I certainly admire what she's done, and it was an entertaining listen with that audiobook. So recommend that as well. So that's going to do it for the Rusty Satellite Show this week. I really appreciate you tuning in and listening up. You can find all of our a lot more information about my guest on RustySatelliteShow.com. Please go to Rusty Satellite Show. Also has a Facebook page. I wish you'd go find it and like it. I post updates there on people who have been on the show. And looking ahead, I've got some great guests lined up. I'm telling you, I'm hoping to talk to Teddy Abrams, the conductor of the Louisville Orchestra. On my schedule in the future, I've got Miss Kentucky and one of the top businessmen in town, Joe Steyer. I've got all those scheduled, a lot more, and it's all possible because of my sponsor, Passport Health Plans, and my thanks to Louis Louis, authentic Detroit-style pizza, and in addition to my wonderful producer, Dan Vonderhyde, for putting the show together every week and making sure all these puzzle pieces fit together and make sense, including the voice of yours truly. So thanks again for tuning in. I'll be back next week with more of the most interesting people in the Ville.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city. Airplanes into buildings every time.